Let's sit that over there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word of God. I just got a few minutes. I'm going to be with you on this morning. So if you're ready, say yes.
Yes.
Come on, if you're really ready, say yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
All right. Merry Christmas to you, by the way. May this be your greatest Christmas ever. Not just simply because of maybe what you may receive, but what you give. May you give in this season like you've never given before. There's a hurting world out here. And as like the video and the spoken word talked about, you know, we need a Savior. And we have the Savior. And the Savior is now depending upon his church to be his hands and feet in the earth. So when the difference needs to be made, watch this, Jesus is not dropping out of heaven, coming to earth. He's empowering his church to get the job done. So may this be the greatest Christmas that you've ever experienced. May you and I give more than we ever have before. Luke chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading to you here, just to give you the full context in verse 26. And then you'll see, I'll pick up and kind of show you where we're going to focus in verse 34. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name. What's that name?
Jesus.
Jesus, yes. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Here's the proclamation that the angel Gabriel brings unto this teenage girl about now what God wanted to do with her. And in verse 34 is where we'll pick up and focus in on Mary's response. Because Mary has a response just like, you know, I believe every woman today would have a response in this particular condition. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Now, what that meant was is that she had not been sexually active with a man. She had pledged herself that that would not happen until she was absolutely married. She was betrothed to Joseph, which is very similar to being engaged, but they had not said the I do's yet. So Mary is just like, you know, all that you're saying, you know, Mr. Angel, that sounds real spectacular, but you must not realize I'm not married and I ain't done nothing. So how that gonna be? How could that happen? I think it's a very fair question. It says, and the angel answered and said to her, this is how it's gonna happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. He gives her a little encouragement right here. And then he says this statement, and here's where I want us to lock in on. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say it with me. With God, nothing will be impossible. Come on, say it again. With God, nothing will be impossible. Find somebody nearby. Come on, in the auditorium, at home, and say this. Say, neighbor, stay with God. I mean, it's really just that simple. You got to know how to stay with God. So we're going to spend the next few moments here today just talking about with God. Somebody say it with me. Say, I'm with God. See, with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, you got to understand, you know, a lot of times people read these type of things and read the Bible, you know, with kind of a fictional, you know, view to it. Just like, oh, that's amazing. You know, like you're reading Lord of the Rings or something, you know. Well, I mean, praise God for Lord of the Rings. That's a nice story. That's a story. This is history. This is what happened. And you got to grab hold to the fact that when this announcement comes to Mary, Mary's troubled. She's like, oh my goodness, what in the world? And the angel gives her a response. And what says, I don't know about you, but even that response may not necessarily leave you the most comforted. She's like, how is this going to be? He's like, oh, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit going to come upon you. You know, you're going to conceive from the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the baby you have is going to be the Son of God. See, everything's going to be good. Oh, that's all you had to say in the first place. Not. It was still a challenge in her thinking. And that's why Gabriel then mentions to her about her cousin. Says, you know your cousin, right? Yeah, I remember. Elizabeth. Says, she's the one, you know this, that was deemed barren. She couldn't have any kids. You remember that, right? Yeah. She's 6 months pregnant right now. Says, she's 6 months pregnant right now. And just like God has moved with her, I want you to know God is here to move with you. And just because right now your mind thinks this is impossible, if you stay with God, nothing shall be impossible. Man, I love that. It doesn't matter what the report is. Nothing will be impossible. Now, listen, here's my goal for this morning. I want to get a miracle in you, and then I want to get a miracle out of you. It ain't going to come out of you until it gets in you. See, most people want to get, you know, into the miracle, but they never get the miracle into them. And that's where we have to start first. Mary births her miracle. We know the story. She goes through 9 months of pregnancy. Trust me, she had to go through a lot of ridicule. She had to go through convincing her husband that I ain't cheated on you. Now, I wish I could say that, you know, if my lovely bride, a couple of months before, you know, let's just say we're getting, you know, this would never happen, but just say it. It was just like, well, you know, I'm with child, but it's by the Spirit of God, so don't worry. I've been like, all right. Now watch this. There's prophecy that's been written. Okay. But how many of you know most men didn't believe it? And Joseph didn't believe it. Angel has to come to Joseph and to help him understand. Says, don't you put her away. If Joseph's getting ready to be like, oh, okay, we done. This relationship just came to an end. Angel has to come to him and say, don't do it. I know what you're thinking. Watch this. Come to my side. Come to God's side. See this from God's view. Keep this woman. Continue on in the process that you're going to be married. Because who is on the inside of her is about to change everything. Got to get this miracle in, and then we got to get a miracle out. When it comes to birthing anything, it's a fabulous experience. I've had the privilege to be a part of 3 pregnancies with my wife. We had our oldest son, our daughter, and then, you know, twin boys. So the first one, I mean, you know, the first one is always probably the most tense because you don't know what in the world you're doing. Even though you've heard and people have told you, I mean, it's just like, whoa, what is really happening here? Never will forget, water broke and boom, we jumping in the car, already had the bags packed and we heading over to the hospital. And that young man, he was a big fella. He was like 8 pounds. I think he was 8 pounds, 7 ounces, something like that. All of them were pretty big. So he was a big fella, and so it was really interesting, you know, him coming on out. Lot of tension, a lot of discomfort, a lot of help me lords, you know, being declared in there. Thank God for epidural. Our second child, our daughter, pregnancy was there, of course, and delivery time and different things had to happen. And man, this delivery was, I mean, pretty smooth. Over. It's done. Like, well, she out already? Well, okay. Like, all right. Because our expectation was really shaped by what happened the first time. The last, I don't know, they twins, so maybe they was playing in there. And one of them fell asleep afterwards. And didn't one come out? So one comes out, can't get the other one out. 20 minutes go by before he actually get the other one out. He went to sleep or something. I'm telling you, I don't know what it was. But I was able to get him out. And I'm sure every mother in here, you can tell, you know, a very significant story about the birthing of the miracles called your child. Every mother. There's a lot of, like I said, pain, a lot of discomfort, a lot of tension that went into things. But then after that delivery happens, there's a joy that hits the whole room, not just the mother, the whole room. It's just like, wow, look what God has done here. It's amazing. One thing that I've come to find, and that's really this. Some deliveries are easier than others, but none are without tension or discomfort. Some are easier than others, but every one of them has some tension, has some discomfort. Now here's the part of the message where I got to get you to wrap your heart around that it's okay for there to be tension and discomfort in your life. Because without it, you'd never give birth. Without it, you never give birth to the miracle. You have to be, watch this, listen, you actually need to be okay with the tension, okay with the discomfort, and perhaps even in the midst of it, depending upon what's going on, maybe even a little pain. You have to be okay with that if you're going to be able to get the miracle in and a miracle out. Pain, discomfort, tension are not necessarily a bad thing. Notice what Jesus says here in Mark chapter 10. This is a verse that the Lord encouraged me on years ago. Matter of fact, 1996, July. I was having a moment. Anybody ever had a moment before? I come on this side. Somebody was like, a moment? What does he mean? Everything's a moment, isn't it? No, I was having a moment. Come on, you know, you're getting your feelings. Yeah, I was having a moment. And the Lord took me right over here. Because I had just left everything. And it says here in verse 29. It says, yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the gospel, we will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property. Come on now. I'm rejoicing. I'm dancing in the parking lot at my friend's apartment because I don't have a place to stay yet. And I'm just like, God, I trust you. Come on now. 100-fold. Hit me with it because I had just left everything. But then I didn't stop reading there. Just keep reading, son. Keep reading. You got a good dance move going on there, but keep reading. With all of that, also remember this, there's coming some persecution. I mean, it's just like, where did that come from in the verse? It's like, how does that even fit? It says, son, it's a part of the process. You don't birth a miracle without tension. Come on, without some discomfort. If you think it's just going to be easy, you are in the wrong kingdom. Said there's persecution that comes with this. And the rest of the verse says, and in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. You know, the New Testament is written, you know, in Greek. And this is the Greek word here, diagomos. That's translated as persecution. And it literally means to harass, to oppress. It was first used, when you look at, you know, the kind of etymology of the word, that it was first used to really describe what hunters were doing to kind of capture their prey. You know, really harassing, oppressing, you know, being able to capture them, you know, to subdue them into whatever it is that they wanted. And here Jesus says, yes, you've left everything, but have an expectation that you'll receive 100-fold now and this time, you know, houses, come on, father, mother, sisters, brothers, come on, lands. He says, but There's something else you need to be expecting too. It says persecution, son. There's harassment. There's pressure. Now you need to understand, Mary went through a whole lot of harassment and pressure. That was not necessarily an easy process for her. You got to know that numerous people around her did not believe her story. People are like, whatever. Come on, if they would have believed her story, once Jesus is born, come on, everybody's celebrating. There's no way, watch this, she's in a manger. Because everybody knows she's about to give birth to the Messiah. They don't believe her, the crazy little girl. Whole lot of tension. Whole lot of discomfort. Are you willing to deal with it? I got one yes. I said, are you willing to deal with it? Oh, glory. You know, here's an interesting point with this verse here. Our brand of Christianity today conditions us to want the gospel without giving up anything for it. Notice Jesus says here that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother, come on, giving up. See, the brand of Christianity today is we don't want to give up anything. We just want it. Come on, I want to keep my job the way I got it. I want to keep this the way I got it. I want to keep my life the way I got it. I want to keep this way, you know. I want to keep my relationship the way I got it. I want to keep it the way I have it and just add Jesus onto it. That's this Americanized brand of Christianity we've grown into. That's not the gospel. Stay with me. Starting on the first Wednesday of January, I'm going to start dealing with a series just on the church. And really what the church is and what the church is supposed to be and how the church is supposed to look. I'm going to spend a lot of time in the book of Acts. Because there we see even kind of the birthing of the church. So that's a little PSA. What are some of the tensions that you and I can wind up experiencing? There's a long list. Can't go through all of it. Don't have enough time. But to put them into some categories, I would say negative reports would be one. Contrary and faithless people. Come on, some people make it their mission, because it is, to help you not to believe. They make it their mission. And I got news for you. They're on a demonic assignment. They're trying with everything they have. They want to shame you into it. How silly are you? How can you believe that? That's the white man's religion. That is such a farce. I'm so tired of hearing that, you know, this whole kind of racialized stuff. Oh, Christianity, that was never even in Africa. That's a lie. Do some homework. Been in Africa for centuries. The hub of the church at one point was in Africa. You do some homework, you know. People always repeating all this little silly stuff on social media. Come on now. Let's come back to the place that we're not giving in to the contrary and faithless people. And I wish they were only outside, but they're not only outside, they're inside the church too. So you just have to understand, you have to recognize it, love people where they are. But when you're trying to birth something, you need to get with an Elizabeth, not a Jezebel. Oh, where did that come from? Dear God Almighty. Yeah. Yickety. All right, here we go. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. Really, you do need an Elizabeth. That's what you need. Don't get with that other stuff. Peter says this: I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Come on, you got to put up with some aggravation. Anybody ever had to put up with some aggravation? Okay, see, the rest of y'all are lying. Anyone ever had to put up with some aggravation? Come on now. Put up with some aggravation. It says, but in the meantime, it says, but pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. See, when it's genuine faith, when the tension, the discomfort, the pressure comes, only thing it does now is to reveal the quality of what you really have and who you really are when it's genuine. But at the same token, if it's not genuine, it gets burnt up and you get exposed. All right, there we go. It says, when Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. He says, God says, it's your faith, it's your trust, your confidence in me. He says, that's what I'm putting on display. He says, look at how they trusted me. Watch this. They got a miracle in and they got a miracle out. How do I know? He says, look at their faith. Look at how they trust me through the tension, through the pressure, through the discomfort, and even through the pain. So the question we have to ask is this. What do we do with the pressure, the tension, and the discomfort? I'm glad you asked. Here you go. I'm going to give you four things. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Number one is don't avoid it. Please do not avoid it. Don't avoid the pressure. Human personality, we don't like to be uncomfortable. Come on, listen. No, we don't like it. We don't like to be uncomfortable. You're outside and you feel cold and you're shivering. You don't like that. So what do? You're looking for a coat. You want to get comfortable. You want to have your temperature regulated, you know. We don't like to be, you know, uncomfortable. But if you're going to birth what God has called you into, you have to understand the value behind tension, pressure, discomfort, and maybe even pain. And listen, to all my mothers in the house, you understand this like nobody else. You understand that I'm okay with the tension, the pressure, the discomfort. I didn't say you necessarily liked it, but you're okay with it because you realize it's just a part of the process. Come on now, when that baby starts to move on the inside of you and taking over your body, you're just like, what in the world? All of a sudden, you're hungrier than you ever experienced in your life, like you're about to pass out. Because it ain't you, it's that baby saying, I need some food. We're okay with it. We're okay with it because we understand this is a part of the process. And I need you to catch this spiritually in the kingdom of God. This is a part of the process. Don't avoid it. Secondly, don't deny it. Please don't deny it. For many years, and unfortunately it's still fairly popular, people get over into the denial of things. Listen to this. The denial of the problem does not activate the promise. So individuals will be dealing with something and be like, well, I'm not this, I'm not that. Okay, that's fine. You can do that. You can deny. But that doesn't activate the promise. The denial doesn't activate the promise. Faith activates the promise. So for me, I don't deny the fact that I tested positive for COVID. It is what it is. But that's not where I was focusing on. I was focusing on what God said to activate the promise. Thirdly is this, please, don't despise it. Don't despise the pressure, the tension, or the discomfort. Again, see it as a necessary process to receiving something miraculous in your life. And then lastly then, do this. Use the pressure, the tension, the discomfort to drive you deeper in faith in God. Use it for fuel to drive you deeper in faith. So rather than being, oh, why am I having to go through this? Just be like, you know what? Thank you, Lord. I got it. I'll take it. As a matter of fact, everything they're saying about me, I'm going to use it to just center in deeper with you. Oh, this ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Be like, yeah, that's all right. I'm not even going to get mad at them, but I'm going to use this to keep going deeper in faith. Use it as fuel. Last point is this today. The miracle you need may not be the miracle you seek. For I would dare say most, for most, what they seek and what they need is two different things. The miracle you need may not be the miracle that you seek. Catch this right here. We need a miracle of revelation before we can see a miracle in manifestation. We need a miracle in revelation. Something needs to explode on the inside of you. And watch this. When it does, everybody know it. So it's interesting to me sometimes when people will act like, yeah, I believe that. But you don't believe it. I can look at you and tell you. You don't believe it. You're walking around like this. Yeah, the Lord is good. Oh, Lord, what in the world? You don't believe that. Now, you've been taught to say that. That's good. But see, you don't have the miracle of revelation yet. See, because when you know the Lord is good, come on, when you know like what we're singing about, you're worthy of it all. Now, I mean, come on. It lights up on the inside of you. It's like what Jeremiah was talking about. It says, man, this word was shut up in me. It was like fire in my bones. I couldn't hold it. It's a miracle of revelation that has to take place if you and I are going to be able now to see a miracle in manifestation. This is where the pressure, this is where the discomfort, this is where the tension has to begin. It's in your believing. It's in your believing. See, the miracle that you need may not be the miracle that you see. You may be, you know, looking for and seeking a miracle, a financial or physical healing or something of that nature. And that's all well and good. But the one you need first is this miracle of revelation of what God has said about you in that situation. Where that comes alive on the inside of you. It's got to be alive. And watch this, once it's alive on the inside of you, just like a baby is alive on the inside of you, no one can deny it. Nothing anyone says can make you, you know, deny that you're pregnant. Like, I got something from God. And that's how Mary is walking around. I have something from God. I got it. I got from God. And people looking at her funny, talking about her, whatever. You know another type of tension that can get caused a lot of times? Is what I call mental and emotional trauma. Come on, anybody ever been through that before? I'll lift up my hand. Come on, were you beating yourself up? Were you analyzing things over and over and over and over? Okay, I'll just raise my hand. I'll be the only one there. I mean, where you're going through this mental trauma. It's pressure. And if you don't watch it, that mental and emotional trauma, that stuff will make you want to quit. Because you want relief. Quitting never brings relief, though. All right, just thought I'd put that out there. We may come back. So notice what the Word of God says here in 2 Peter chapter 1. The fight and the battle is always in our mind. Always. Always. And if you're going to get a revelation, a miracle of revelation, you got to bring your mind over to God's side and keep it there. Now, bringing your mind over to God's side, it's not just simply Jesus is Lord, I'm a Christian. That's a good starting point. But you got to bring your mind to God's side regarding your marriage and family. You got to bring your mind to God's side about your health and healing. You got to bring your mind side about, you know, to God's side about your money and the resources that you have available to you. You got to bring your mind there. It's not for God to come to you where you are and help you feel better in that place. God says, I'm not coming there. I'm here to bring you here. And this is where the miracle has to happen. And trust me, this is the biggest miracle. The biggest miracle of just simply coming to the place like, I believe God. Come on, where this, you know, buildings and properties and so forth are concerned, there's been this, there's been contrary reports, there's been all kind of stuff. My position is just simply this. It is well. I believe God. Come on, let it be your place where you just come over to God's side. And regardless of what you hear, what you see, what is said, stay in that place with God. Here, I'm over time. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, for we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Peter talking. He said, this wasn't some little, you know, creative story. It says, we saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. He's talking about the event that happened at the Mount of Transfiguration. You can go to Matthew chapter 17, verses like 1 through 5 to get a picture of that. It says, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, Peter says, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. It says we saw something, you know, most didn't see. He says, and because of that, we got even greater confidence. We had confidence in what the prophet says, but we got even greater now. And then he says this. He starts speaking to people like you and me down through the generations. And he says this. You, though, watch this, must pay close attention to what they wrote. You got to pay close attention to what this word says. It says, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your heart. Listen, in other words, you and I have to spend enough time with God's word so that thing actually, you know, like turns on like a light on the inside. Come on, I'm not talking about a little dim thing where you can barely see. I'm talking about some explosive light that comes on that changes everything on the inside of you and around you. It's like, I see what God is saying. Doctors have said this, that, and the other, and you got to take this for the rest of your life, and then you get a hold of what God is saying. That by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, I was healed. So if I was healed, I am healed. So based upon what God says, I don't need to take medication for the rest of my life. Nothing wrong with medication. Thank God for medication. But that doesn't mean I got to, you know, depend upon that for the rest of my life. Daddy, I decide I'm depending upon you. You're my healer. See, you get it on the inside. I don't know how many, you know, testimonies I've heard, you know, over the years, individuals taking blood, you know, pressure medicine. And then people start getting a hold of the word of God. Start confessing what God is saying. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're taking the medication, but it's having a different effect on them. It's just like, whoa, what's going on? Go back to the doctor, and pretty much the doctor really can confirm, like, oh, you don't need the medication any longer. We're giving you this medication to bring your blood pressure down, but your blood pressure's already been stabilized. And now when you take the medication, it's taking it too low. You should stop taking that now. How is that? Because there's a miracle of revelation on the inside that now produced the miracle on the outside. It's not happening on the outside until you get it on the inside. So I challenge you, start off this year with a strong in God's word, because that's where your miracle abides. Father, we thank you so much for your continued presence. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Daddy, for this whole Christmas season, that we can be reminded that with you, nothing shall be impossible. So help to center us in on the promises, Father, that you've made unto us. Help us, Daddy, to meditate upon them, Father, to the point that they explode on the inside of us, across our mind, changing the entire landscape of our thinking, praise God, where we come over to your side. Daddy, and we trust as we do, we then will become the miracle that you need in this earth to help to bring hope and healing, peace and joy throughout the land. We give you honor for this now. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Please keep your heads bowed with me just for a moment. Every head bowed. Listen, in this whole Christmas season, here in auditorium there, you know, online, the greatest gift you could ever give unto Jesus, the gift that God gave to us, is by surrendering your life to him. And maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never done that before. Or maybe you feel like you have, but you're not sure. But let's sure it up today. So if that's you, you've never stepped into a relationship. I'm not talking about religious activity, but relationship with the one who loves you like no one else. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed in prayer. If that speaks to your heart, if you're present or you're, you know, online, would you just lift up one hand under heaven and say, would you pray for me? Be glad to. Be honored to. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Even at home, come on, come on, come on. You can lift them up. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you as well. Glory and honor to your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, here's what I want to do. I just want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask everyone, wherever you are, lift up two hands unto heaven. Come on, just stretch them up high. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you again for loving me and giving to me your best. Jesus, I embrace you as my master, my savior, my Lord, my king. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan for my life. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody just rejoice right there. Glory and honor to your wonderful name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Listen, if you prayed that with us out of the sincerity of your heart, we'd love to get some information to you. You're online, do this for us. Just text the word decided that you'll see come up on your screen. We'll be able to send you a link to a devotional, or you can type into the chat and someone will be glad to send you the link, you know, as well. It's a 7-day devotional that will help you in the decision that you've made here today and make this, again, the greatest Christmas of your life. There's no bigger gift that you could ever give than your life to God. So he's waiting. So I applaud you and look forward to seeing you in 2022 as we continue to get bigger with Almighty God.